Thank you, Alan, and welcome to today's West Sapphire Support Technical Exchange. My name is Jennifer Chen, and I will be the moderator for this call. This call is being recorded, and early next week, an MP3 file and presentation will be available on the West Sapphire Support Technical Exchange site. You may replay it at your convenience. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. An e-meeting URL is available to you from the West Sapphire Support Technical Exchange site. Today's presenters are Surya Dagirala and Bhushan Lukandi. Surya Dagirala is an advisory software engineer of IBM Software Group. He is currently leading the efforts to improve the runtime performance of Web Sapphire version 6.1. Prior to this, he was the team lead for Web Sapphire process choreographer, responsible for performance and architecture of BPEL engine. He has over 10 years of experience in various fields of the computer industry, including object-oriented programming, application architecture, and performance. Bhushan Lukandi is a software engineer of IBM Software Group. He is currently working on WAS 6.1 regression patrol and regression resolution. He led WAS 6.1 tuning guide development efforts. He has over 5 years of IT experience in application programming, system performance, and autonomics computing benchmarking. Today's topic is WAS Sapphire Application Server 6.0 Events Performance Tuning Part 1. The webcast will include a PowerPoint presentation. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask attendees to answer a few quick questions via e-meeting polling. After that, the lines will open for a question and answer period. You can adjust the side and bottom scrolls to make the presentation more centered. If the view is still too small, under the view on top at the bar, please make sure that the fit share area to window and make share area full screen is unchecked. If you're in the e-meeting, you will see the presentation. If you're unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation from the West Sapphire Support Technical Exchange site by clicking View Presentation link, or by going to any IBM.com site and type in 700-7779 in the search box. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Surya and Bhushan.
Thank you, Jennifer, for this kind information. Hello, everyone. I am Bhushan Lukandi. We hope this webcast will be good learning to all of you. I would like to note that this presentation has been targeted towards Web Sphere Application Server version 6 and later. However, most of concepts can be applied to previous versions. In this session, we will go through tuning tactics and options available with key components of Web Sphere Application Server. We will go through new features available in Web Sphere version 6 and later, which can be exploited to enhance performance. Slide 3, please. Chart here shows impact of tuning on enterprise application performance. These are the results we got for our trade benchmark on Web Sphere 6.02 version. On left side, you see trade EJB scenario running out of box Web Sphere 6.02 server, and on right, numbers are obtained with tuned app server. Trade is a benchmark simulating stock trading and is heavily used by us for performance testing. It is available to customers to do performance testing in their environment. I would like to emphasize here that trade application is considered as blueprint of J2E best practices. Still here we see 66% performance enhancement due to tuning. Here I would like to take a bit detour and mention, even though we can tune application server to enhance performance, in most cases performance is heavily dependent on design and architecture of application. So in order to resolve performance bottleneck, we should start with application. However, tuning on top of it can always help to enhance performance. This presentation is going to focus more on application server tuning. Slide 4, please. So here is agenda for today's webcast. JVM. JVM is a key tuning component of WAS. You might know most about JVM tuning. However, there are few issues that always trigger concerns among customers. We will cover that. HTTP session. In version 6, we had significant changes going in HTTP session implementation with much better performance than previous version. Now we have new options to improve performance. We will go through those. EJB has improved a lot in version 6, and we will talk about some of the new features available which can boost the performance. JMS. Starting with version 6, we have new in-process pure Java messaging engine which performs much better than predecessor. We will talk about how to tune and use it. So now let's get rolling. Next slide, please. Before we get in actual tuning part, I would like to mention that WebSphere is stable and robust product which performs pretty well out of box. There are not lot deep tuning customers typically have to do. Of course, there are fine tuning adjustments based on nature of application which can further enhance performance. Also, I would like to inform here that these tunings apply to IBM JVM. However, most of concepts are generalized and can be applied to other JVMs. So let's talk about JVM sizing. JVM works best if it is contained within physical memory of machine. If we swap it to disk, performance is badly hurted. One can argue here that pages that are not recently used, that is, the quiet pages are switched to disk, so we should be fine. However, here story is a bit different. Garbage collection process runs in background which eventually touches all pages, so entire JVM needs to be within physical memory. In addition, it is necessary to account for the total physical memory used by operating system and other processes when making this calculation. The general rule of thumb is to never set total max heap of JVM greater than 90% of pre-physical memory. We have seen that many application servers are there on single machines in development environment. This is fine and it's often called as JVM hotlink. However, don't expect one of these JVM to perform well, as with this large number of JVMs, the swapping will be pretty common. Let's talk about heap size. The heap sizes mentioned over here should not be considered as rules of thumb or best practices. They are just some starting points before you begin your GC tuning. It is the testing which is going to determine the actual value depending on memory footprint of the application. Testing is critical over here. So for application server, we can start with heap size of 512 meg. For stack products like Portal, Commerce Suite, we can start with heap size of 1 gig. Remember, these are just starting points. Testing determines the actual heap size. We will talk more about this testing in the coming slides. Minimum heap size. We have seen a big confusion over what should be minimum heap size. Should it be equal to or less than max heap? Our recommendation is to keep min heap lower than max heap for production environment. This helps to build efficient object table. We tend to push objects which are going to be used throughout life of application towards bottom of heap, and this will result in less fragmentation. For burst testing or performance testing, where full stress workload is expected right away, min heap equal to max heap gives better performance. So application which expects sudden burst of workload on server startup can keep min heap equal to max heap. Here I would like to emphasize that IBM 1.4x JVM is a lot better than its predecessor. It is robust with much better performance, it has highly optimized GC algorithm, it is easier to tune with very few tuning parameters, it does fine tuning on its own. So now let's see how heap size dictates the GC behavior. Slide 6 please. Tuning garbage collection. Garbage collection is the main criteria which helps us determine the correct heap size. Properly sizing the JVM can result in greatest returns in terms of overall performance of the application. Insufficient heap size can result in frequent garbage collection, possibly followed by JVM running out of memory. If Java heap is too large, garbage collection will not run very often. However, it will take longer when it does run. The best practice is to have average time between garbage collection at least 5 to 6 times the average duration of single garbage collection. If you do not achieve this number, the application is spending more than 15% of its time in garbage collection and GC here is bottleneck. In this case, either application needs to be optimized or heap needs to be adjusted. The graph on slide is obtained by using Tivoli Performance Viewer, which shows memory utilization at steady state, which is indicated by sawtooth shape. And memory utilization here is less than 15%. Less than 15% of application time is spent in GC. From our observation, for performance critical application should not spend more than 10% of its time in GC. Now we will discuss how to do testing to determine min-max heap size to optimize garbage collection. Slide 7, please. To do testing, we need to monitor heap utilization. The best way to monitor heap utilization in the JVM is to enable verbose GC output and to analyze the result. Verbose GC can be enabled from admin console as shown on slide, followed by starting the JVM. Verbose GC output reports many key garbage collection statistics, including the current heap size, size of free space at GC time, amount of memory released during garbage collection cycle, time in garbage collection, frequency of garbage collection. These garbage collection statistics often enable the detection of various memory issues, including memory leaks, large object issues, heap fragmentation. Verbose GC output on slide shows interval between garbage collection is almost 9 times of the GC duration and heap utilization is around 36%. This is pretty decent GC behavior, which we would ideally like to see for the Java application. The best way to analyze output of verbose GC is to produce graph from the output. WebSphere application server provides some basic JVM size graphing via Tivoli Performance Viewer. Also, many tools exist to graph verbose GC output. There is a nice tool available on IBM AlphaWorks named PMAT that can be used to graph verbose GC from IBM JVM. Okay, so with all this background, let's talk about how we do testing to tune GC. Slide 8, please. Tuning garbage collection. To determine memory footprint of your application and decide min-max heap size, we need to do stress testing in production environment. For application server environment, start with min-max heap size equal to 512 MB. Stress the application deployed over increased duration like 1000, 2000, 4000 page requests. If all the allocated heap is used, increase heap like 600 meg, 700 meg, and find the place where memory utilization plateaus. If we are constantly running out of memory, no matter how many or how few users we put, we are having a memory leak. There is memory leak if one of the following occurs. The amount of memory used after each garbage collection keeps increasing, and if you are graphing the verbose GC output, memory leak is indicated by the sawtooth pattern that looks like more like a staircase. Sawtooth pattern has an irregular shape. So at this point, you will have to do diagnostic to figure out why you are leaking. And so if the application is not over-utilizing objects and has no memory leaks, we will see the steady-state memory utilization at some point. If graphing, graph will be like sawtooth shape we saw on last slide. The rule of thumb is to run the heap at less than or equal to 50% utilization. This configuration provides a balance between how often garbage collector runs and how long it takes garbage collector to collect garbage. Set mean heap to around 50% of max, which will result in more efficient object table and eventually less fragmentation. Also, if the performance is critical for application and if lots of memory is available on machine, heap size can be further increased so that heap utilization is further lowered down. For our performance benchmark testing, we use around 1 gig heap size. With this heap size, we see memory utilization at steady state is around 10% and time spent in GC is less than 10%. So now let's go to another area of concern related to Java JVM heap, which is memory fragmentation. Slide 9, please. So what is memory fragmentation? Basically, it means we have lots of memory available scattered across heap. However, we don't have big chunk of memory large enough to make memory allocation. For applications that talk outside a JVM process a lot, have some issues with memory fragmentation. Now, garbage collection is supposed to take care of it during its compression cycle, where it compresses things down and frees up large chunk of memory. Well, this is true only if memory object can be moved down in the heap. There are certain types of objects which cannot be moved during compression cycles, which are pin objects. Pin objects are the objects that makes call outside JVM process. We have to leave them, we can't touch them. Example of pin objects are the ones that are generated from native calls, JNI calls. The other kinds of objects which can't be moved are dosed objects. These are essentially byproduct of garbage collection algorithm and there is nothing much we can do about it. Good news is there are some options available in IBM JVM that helps us manage this pin object. IBM JVM gives us option to reserve area at bottom of heap called P cluster. So all pin objects go in this designated area at bottom of heap. we can configure the initial cluster size and then size of subsequent overflow cluster. So if we see fragmentation with default setting, we can create pre-cluster of large size and check the JVM behavior. Similarly, K-cluster is an area to store class blocks. Again, the classes get pipped and we can reserve for them. Typically, we have seen P-cluster has been quite effective to avoid memory fragmentation. IBM JVM Diagnostic Guide gave much details about this option. IBM JVM Diagnostic Guide is available on IBM Developers Work. So these were the major tuning parameters for JVMs. WebSphere Info Center has a vast tuning guide which gives more details about tuning all JVMs. Slide 10, please. So now let's move to HTTP session management. HTTP session maintains conversational state between requests for the web-based clients. HTTP session management is important for web applications, and it is particularly important to portal application development. We have seen many instances where each portlet of portal application is using HTTP sessions as if it was the only portlet going to be hosted. This leads to big chunk of heap being used by HTTP sessions for all portlets. The rule of thumb is to keep the size of HTTP sessions below 50K, and Tivoli Performance Viewer can help to know the average session size of your application. Sessions are stored in JVM memory in session cache, which is configured by parameter maximum in memory session count. Tuning session cache can enhance performance. If the session cache fills up, overflow sessions are written in secondary table on memory, and retrieving this overflow session is not quite efficient and it hurts performance. So session cache can be tuned, and again, Runtime Performance Advisor or Tivoli Performance Advisor gives the indication or good hint of what session cache should be. The default setting is 1000. For performance testing of SpecJib benchmark application in our lab, we use session cache equal to 1900. Let's talk about session persistence. In cluster configuration, session persistence provides failover for HTTP session information and makes application robust. In WebSphere version 6, HTTP session service is rich with tuning options to reduce the amount of data pass between the applications and the persistent store. We now have time-based writes where sessions are replicated every 10 seconds instead of replicating at the end of service. We also have an option where we save only the updated session information. Consider using time-based writes for session persistence if your application can bear little exposure to data loss. Our testing on trade benchmark with time-based write has shown performance is within very close range of performance with no replication. It was within 10%. Of course, reducing the overall size of HTTP session objects is highly effective tuning technique to improve performance with HTTP session replication enabled. Now let's talk more about the topologies and configuration available with session persistence. Slide 11, please. Session can be persisted via memory-to-memory persistence or database persistence. Let's consider pros and cons of these options. In memory-to-memory replication, I would like to mention that I would be using replication and persistence. They mean same. So in memory-to-memory replication, JVM is used as storehouse to store sessions. Memory-to-memory replication works best for SMB customers who wants to build robust system and who don't want to administer or support database. Version 6 memory-to-memory session replication is generally faster than V5.1. Underlying technology has changed in terms of messaging. It is easier to deal with and it is faster. Specifically, WAS 602 version has big performance improvements in memory-to-memory session replication. To compare memory-to-memory session replication performance to database replication, memory-to-memory replication is not faster than database replication. The network serialization between point A to point B is usually the costly piece. However, again, I would like to stress, performance of memory-to-memory replication is within close range of database persistent performance. Unless the session size is too small, for most session sizes, there is not much difference between memory-to-memory and database persistence. One thing needs to be taken care of while considering memory-to-memory persistence. server sessions and backup sessions are going to live in heap space. They are going to share memory. So planning needs to be done to accommodate these persistent sessions while deciding the heap size. Database persistence is pretty robust and scalable. It is best to go for if customer has capacity and staff to manage the database. Now let's look in some memory-to-memory persistent configuration. Slide 13, please. In version 5, memory-to-memory configuration was little bit complicated. With V6, focus was on simplicity. There are no more concepts of replicas and partitions. We now have clients and servers inside the replication domain. The domain replication service, which is DRS, has been re-implemented and now uses the new high availability manager, which uses a faster and more reliable transport mechanism. DRS instance on server can run in three modes. Server mode, here JVM does not have its own sessions. They are the warehouse for session data of other JVM data. Client mode, here JVM instance is set to be client. That is, it only sends session data, and if there is failover, it can ask someone to send the session data it does not know about. Both mode, this is peer-to-peer mode, which means I hold your sessions, you hold my sessions, if I die, you have my sessions. The replication domain topologies available for memory-to-memory replication are peer-to-peer replication, client-server replication. Let's talk more about this replication. Slide 13, please. So let's consider what are the pros and cons of what should we consider while going for peer-to-peer and client-server replication. On left side, we see peer-to-peer replication. Here, server is storing local copy of session as well as backup copy of session of other cluster members. Remember, here all servers are doing work. So on large cluster, it is recommended to limit scope of memory-to-memory replication. Like keep copy of session data of one other JVM and its own session data, as opposed to keeping copy of whole domain session data, as otherwise no memory would be left to do real work. There are several ways to arrange peer-to-peer replication. Like one option is everybody, where server is holding backup copy of session of all other cluster members, or we can configure server like A has copy of B, B has copy of C, C has copy of A, so forth. When using this configuration, the most stable implementation is achieved when each node has equal capabilities in terms of CPU, memory, and so, and each handles the same amount of work. Again, I would like to say heap size calculation needs to account the HTTP session and backup sessions. Another more flexible and scalable approach is client-server replication. Here we have JVMs which hold local copy of sessions and they send their copies to servers that are dedicated to hold backup. These servers are ideally not doing any work. We have several options to configure these servers. We can keep both servers having complete copy of domain data and avoid single point failure, or we can split the domain data across servers and keep some redundancy. In terms of performance, both modes give similar performance. However, there are several non-performance related benefits of client-server configuration. You can find them on WebSphere Info Center. Slide 14, please. So this was all about HTTP session management from performance perspective. Here, I will hand over to Surya for rest of the session.
Thank you, Bishant. Yeah, thank you, Bishant. Today, I'm going to go over some of the major tuning highlights for the important components, the EJB container and the messaging engine. Slide 16, please. We have been improving the performance of EJB container for the last few releases, and we have introduced some new performance features that will enable the applications that run on EJB container to perform better. The first important feature that we have introduced in 6.02, WebSphere 6.02, is the partial updates for CMPs. Before this feature, normally WebSphere application server always stores all the persistent attributes of CMPs to database, even if only a subset of the persistent attribute fields were changed. But with the partial updates feature, we can change that. For enterprise Java beans, 2x CMP entity beans, we can use this feature to specify how you want to update the persistent attributes of the CMP bean to the database. This feature is provided as a bean-level persistent option called the partial operation in the access intent policy configured for the bean. You can set this through the AST or the RAM. What are the major advantages of this feature? Performing partial updates increases performance in several ways. First, by reducing the query execution time since only a subset of the columns are in the query. Improvement is higher for some cases where the tables with many columns and indices are there. When the table has many indices, only the indices affected by the updated columns need to be updated by the backend database. We can also improve the performance by reducing the network I/O since there is less data to be transferred. Of course, even though we have a lot of improvements that we can see, there are some scenarios where it may hurt the performance. If you enable the partial updates for a bean for which your application modifies several different combinations of columns during the same time span, then the prepared statement cache maximum for the connection is very easily reached. As a result, statement handles are evicted from the cache based on least recent usage. So this results in statements being prepared again and again, decreasing the performance for all the CMP functions, not just for the JV store. So the recommendation for this feature, you will get the maximum performance benefit with the partial updates if there is a complex data type, like, for instance, there is a photo or some other blob in the data field. If that is not updated often, then we can save a lot of SQL cycles. It is better not to use the partial operation if the application can randomly be updated, different combinations of columns, and the number of assignable columns, like the non-keys, is higher than 5. This is a general guideline. The second feature is the keep update logs. This also is a new performance-enhancing feature that is introduced in 6.02. Before this feature, read ahead can only be attached to read or optimistic update access intent, which is like translated to runtime log type select. But with the read ahead feature, we have improvements already attached to with WebSphere 8.2, which supports the select for join. We have almost 15% performance improvement with the keep update logs feature. So you can use the keep update log feature with the databases that support the select for update table join. The third important feature that we have, before I go to the read-only beans, I want to emphasize one key importance of keep update logs. User can attach read-ahead with the pessimistic update access intent, for instance, like define read-ahead orders from the customer EJB itself. After deployment, during the runtime, if access intent determined log type is for update, and if backend supports table join with select for update statement, we will use the function containing the read-ahead to select. Otherwise, we use the function of the same log type without the read-ahead. So it will automatically select that for you under the covers. The third feature that will enhance the performance is the read-only beans. This is a new type of entity bean that extends the caching options. You can mostly use this feature if you want to use it under specific circumstances. For instance, if your application uses data that changes relatively infrequently, an application might be a retailing application. The potential application that you can use this feature is a retailing application that uses pricing data that only changes once a week or a month. If your application can tolerate the data that may be stale, the degree of staleness you can always set through the reload tuning parameter of the EJB container. Of course, when you use this read-only bean, the bean has to be coded in a thread-safe manner so it can safely be invoked by multiple threads at once. Slide 17, please. Apart from these new features, there are some tuning parameters that EJB container provides that will improve the performance. For instance, the EJB container cache. We have to choose sufficient cache size to avoid the frequent passivation. We can compute the cache size using the formula as shown here that shows that will take all different types of EJBs into consideration. And then once we calculate this upper bound using this equation, then that gives us the maximum number of enterprise beans active at one time inside the application server. normally we should set the EJB container cache to a size a little bit higher than the computer size here. For Spectre App Server, we use almost a value of 35,000 to achieve the best performance. So you have to increase this to a much higher value than the default 2,000. How do we select that our cache size is not sufficient? If the application has filled the cache, then it will cause the evictions to occur. Tivoli Performance Viewer will show a very high rate of EJB stores being called and probably a lower than expected CPU utilization on the application server. If you see these two symptoms, you are sure that the cache size is less than what it needs to be. EJB container uses the persistent manager to persist data to the database from the CMP entity beams. So to improve the EJB container performance, there are some tuning parameters that we can use for the persistent manager that will improve the EJB's performance too. For instance, the SEC1 parameter, when an EJB application accesses multiple CMP beams inside of a single transaction, depending on the operations performed on the beam, whether it is an update, reinsert, or read, the number of operations issued to the database will correspond directly to the operations performed on the CMP beam. If we set this flag, like com IBM WSPM.batch is true, if your database can support the batch statement, once we enable this flag, then the persistent manager adds all the update statements into one single batch statement, which will then be issued to the database at the end of the transaction. So this will avoid the frequent round trips to the database and improve the performance. There is another tuning parameter for the persistent manager that improves the performance. That is the persistent manager deferred insert on EJB create. When creating the entity beams by calling the EJB create method, by default the persistent manager immediately inserts the empty row with only the primary key in the database. If the EJB application transactions are very insert intensive, then application performance can be improved by delaying or deferring the create immediately, so we can reduce one round trip to the database by using this deferred create for container managed persistence. We also have introduced some new features that will improve the startup time, reduce the startup time, and make it faster for the server to come back with the lazy initialization of EJB. Slide 18, please. Well, with EJB 2.0 and J2E 1.3, we have a new J2E API that's the fast reference that we call it as local beams. Before this feature, IBM used to have ARB level feature, ARB pass per reference, that will apply that you can set through admin console, which does the same thing as the local beans. Local beans, it will improve the performance compared to the remote beans, provides this performance gain mainly through pass per reference, J2E API. The default is pass by copy. Even though the improvement is not much higher than the password reference, local beans do not have the side effects that the ARB password reference do. ARB password reference, of course, you use that by the admin console, and we normally use that for all co-resident EJBs in the same JVM, so to gain the performance. Of course, we have the side effects because it may actually modify the parameter objects for the ARB password reference. This option of remote versus local have some restrictions that will impose some restrictions on the deployment options. We will go over in the next slide. Slide 19, please. As you can see here, EJB deployment, a WebSphere application server provides various workload management topologies. There are we have a single tier topology that has a performance advantage because the web container and EJB container are running in a single Java virtual machine. In this topology, with the object request broker pass-per reference enabled, the EJB processing is done on the same thread as the web container processing. But there is a second deployment option available. That is a split-tier deployment that you use for high availability option, but we may see some performance degradation in that. Because the R pass by reference option is ignored in the split-tier topology because the web container and the EJB container are on are in separate JVMs. Our lab test showed that throughput of single-tier topology is about 10 to 20% better than the split-tier with a six-node cluster setup. Next slide, please. This ends the EJB tuning, and the next topic is on JMS tuning. JMS messaging is one of the important components that that is completely refreshed, and we have a new in-process messaging server from S3 application server in V6 onwards. Even though we have the JMS support in earlier versions like V5, but that was like an out-of-process solution that we have completely revamped in V6 through an SI bus, system integration bus. We also call it as a messaging bus if we use it for messaging. That will reduce the messaging overhead for lightweight. We have non-persistent messaging that requires no external process interaction. Reduces the major problem that we had earlier with the MQ messaging provider was the serialization because they are out of process. WebSphere messaging, WebSphere process, and the MQ are in the there are two different processes. So we had overhead for the reduces that reduces the serialization. So now we have. With 6 onwards, we have in-process messaging engine. At the same time, we have support for the MQ series or embedded MQ. So support with any JMS-compatible messaging engine also is an option for V6 onwards. Of course, with messaging, the message integrity is normally the main criteria. We use the transactional support for multiple interdependent messages. Otherwise, you can use the non-transactional messaging, the default, for more efficient processing. Slide 22, please. With V6 messaging engine, we have various messages with different qualities of service attributes have been introduced. These qualities of service will specify the reliability of message delivery. You can select the reliability to suit your requirements for assured delivery and system performance. Reliability is the determining factor in throughput performance because the extra overhead introduced when messages are written out to the disk. We can expect the significant performance boost by using the best effort non-persistent. That is the first option here. Because in the best effort non-persistent, messages are never written to the disk. They are thrown away messages if memory cache overruns. As you can see, the highest reliable option here is the assured persistent. The highest degree of reliability we can achieve, but with some performance penalty. So it is very key to achieving the best performance by choosing the reliability level that we that our application can tolerate. Next slide, please, 23. There is a new feature that we have introduced in 6.0 for messaging applications to improve the performance. That's called one PC optimization, one phase commit optimization. Messaging engines store persistent data in a database using a JDBC data source to interact with the database. So if you can configure your application to share the JDBC connection used by the messaging engine, which enables you to use one phase commit transactions, then we can improve the performance of the application. For the conditions, there are some conditions to use this optimization. Your application must be a CMP entity bin at this point. We don't have support for the BMPs and the JDBC at this point. But if we use this one PC optimization, we can see a significant improvement. For instance, we have 15% performance boost on SpecJ app server using the one PC one phase commit optimization. There are some tuning tips here when we are using the one-phase commit optimization, that is application resource authorization. We have to select the resource authorization as per application instead of per container. That gives a boost of 4 to 5%. That depends on the application, but the spec JAP server showed that 5% boost. How to enable the one-PC optimization? You can see in Info Center there are some certain steps we have to follow, and we have to use the non-XDA data source, even though we are touching two resources like messaging and the JDBC. We can still use the connection pool that JDBC provider instead of the XDA data source. Next slide, please. Okay. So next one, we need to improve the MDB performance through tuning. That tuning tips for MDB performance are here. We have MDBs, or message-driven beans, normally use the default thread pool for the messaging applications. So we have to tune the default thread pool. The normal minimum and maximum for them for the thread pool is 5 and 21. And increasing the maximum to around 41 gave us nice performance boost in our messaging applications in the lab. The second performance tip here is deliver batches of messages to each MDB endpoint to improve the performance. Change the default CloudScape database to a remote DB2 database that will improve the performance. Expect up to 50% higher throughput with remote DB2 compared to a local DB2. The reason for this is because if we have a persistent messaging that uses the local database, a server, both the WebSphere application server and the DB2 will both be competing with the L3 cache on the system resources. And we have to adjust the JDBC connection pool size and the prepared statement cache size as well to improve the performance of MDBs. I'll go over in the next slide. Slide 25, please. Because the messaging engine uses the database, relational database, to store the messages, the data store performance is a key to a messaging performance, better messaging performance. So we have to increase the JDBC connection pool to cope with the peak loads, and then we will improve the performance by placing the database logs and the data on a fast write array to reduce the latency. One important consideration when we put the SIB tables, that is the messaging specific tables, into the database, the table space by default is 4 KB in pages, and then if we can increase that to 32 KB, we improve the performance. Also, similarly, we have to adjust the column width of the varchar column to 32 KB. That will improve the performance too. Slide 26, please. Yeah, this completes the JMS tuning. I'm going to summarize what we have discussed in today's conference. In general, the new performance features should be exploited to improve the enterprise application performance wherever applicable, for instance, like partial updates or keep update logs or read-only beans. JVM heap size, as Bhushan mentioned, is a key tuning parameter. IBM JVM 14X is more efficient than its predecessors. Memory-to-memory session replication is much improved, easier to configure, and works best for smaller sites. For the JMS, don't use the highest reliable level if not necessary for an application to boost the performance. For best performance of persistent messaging, data store tuning is essential. Slide 27. I think this concludes the first part of this series, but we have these some additional WebSphere product resources that will give you overall some more. The chart that we are giving here, that the chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. As you can see, DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on the support pages points you to webcast and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. That's all. Now we can open this for questions and answers.
Thank you, Surya and Bhushan, for a great presentation. At this point, Alan, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will now turn it over to our presenters.
Thank you, Ms. Chen. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you'd like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time, and we'll pause a moment to assemble our queue. And we'll take a question from Jing Zhuang from Bank of America.
Hi, this is Jing from Bank of America. I have a question about the difference, the connection pool and the session pool under the connection factory. What's the difference and how you suggest to tune this?
The JMS connection factory?
Yes.
Yeah, the connection factory is the major, the first tuning parameter on the JMS side. And from the connection factory, we create the sessions and the connections. So we normally tune the connection factory, connection pool attached to the connection factory. That's how we normally tune the JMS.
Yeah, there connection pool and the session pool, right?
Yep, yep.
What's the difference between them?
The connection pool is a major from where we normally create the connections. The sessions are created from the connection factory, right? So if you have more connection, if the connection pool at the connection factory level, if it is increased, that will enable you to create more sessions.
So okay, but underlying the settings are pretty much the same. If you look at a console in the session pool, you have connection timeout and
is for the session pool. Normally, that is the scope is limited to a specific session. For the connection pool, it is at the higher level. So you have the connection pool attached to the connection factory. You know, you have the session timeout for the connection factory right at the higher level than the timeout for the session. The timeout for the session pool is like only limited to the particular session that has been created from the connection.
And those settings are for JVM, for
yep.
App Server?
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
And we'll take our next question from Anand Ayagiri with Fidelity Investments.
Oh, hi, yeah. The question I have is, it's a very good introduction to WebSphere version 6, performance tuning. It's a good presentation, both Bhushan and Surya. The question I have is, you touched based on the garbage collection, that's page, I think slide number 8 or 6, 7, monitoring GC. Starting with JVM 1.14x, we have four types of garbage collection monitoring statistics, right? Young, tenure, then the other two. Now, you presented the garbage collection statistics in a from the command line or the doc window here, as I see it. How do we read it, or which one did you present, and could you have provide more details on this, please?
The default one is to, like, get the garbage, like, to enable the verbose GC. Like, this is lightweighted, and it just gets written to the native standard error file. Like, I hope I am answering you. I get your question correctly.
I'm aware of that. Sorry to interject. I am aware that if you turn on GC, it writes native underscore STDRR. But the question I have is, you have young, tenured, you know, all the stats are coming in. In the past, you didn't have this JVM 1.3 and earlier versions. You just had one type of GC, enabled GC, right to this. And you could look at the allocation failure and then chart out this in Excel spreadsheet or something like that, and you get the stats very easily. Now, with the four types of GC that you have with the 1.4x, you need to be reading more details into each of the JVM GCs reported. So you have more details on that, like which one you're reading, young, tenured, or other ones?
like I can get off, I can get back to you offline, but like from my knowledge, there is just like one option to enable GC, and we don't have multiple things to vary the details to get details about GC, but we can talk about it, like if you shoot me an email.
Yeah, I'll do that. Thanks. I have more questions. Should I kind of wait in the queue, perhaps? Is it?
You can go ahead.
One of the questions I had was, you mentioned that in your labs you had the machines on which you performance tested this machine, to get the statistics that you're reporting.
Yeah.
What are you basing it on? You have an RPOF value for all these machines, or just out of curiosity, because I've used IBM Xboxes before. I'm interested to know the what kind of RPOF values they're setting it. Are you looking at those RPOF values at all?
Sorry, I missed. What did you say? RPOF values?
RPOF is a performance indicator that IBM has developed, relative performance that you have the P, I think PQ boxes or P series of boxes. Now, based on that, RPOF value of 1, and then you size the machine. Basically, it's a capacity management.
Sorry, I'm asking. Yeah, like for performance testing, like in our lab, we are not using those indicators. So, do you have any more information?
No, actually, we are not doing that. Normally, as you said, like it is for the capacity planning, we do that, but, you know, we haven't done that for this particular presentation. Yeah.
Okay. That's curious, because what sort of machine capacities we're looking at, that's what I was curious on. So it does have a bearing on when you're doing performance.
Yeah, it's mainly for the capacity planning, right, as you said, right? You know, if you're comparing various, you know, operating systems and, you know, various machines there, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
One more question, if you may allow me that. More, but I'll at least shoot one quickly.
Yeah, sure.
Turning to slide 8 or 9, which is tuning garbage collection, your recommendation was to start with XMS and XMS and XMS to 5 megabyte. Now, you are also, in the previous company workplace I used to work with, we used to even look at SVMON output. It gives us a better indicator of also, rather, other picture, not just CVLE performance viewer alone, to give us a better indicator as to how the memory utilization is looking like. So are you looking at any of this AX-related performance tuning parameters at all, or metrics at all? The one I used was SVMON. It's pretty helpful, though.
Yeah, we do that, but, you know, if you're, you know, looking for the general recommendation that we give, it is based on our, you know, general observation in our tests in the lab, right, 1024. And also, again, you know, the heap size that, you know, we set, again, depends on, you know, what kind of testing are you doing. For instance, in our lab setting, we do more of a burst testing, right? So we keep, you know, because we are stressing the systems to almost 100% CPU, so we try to, based on the availability of the heap size, based on availability of memory, you know, we increase and keep the highest possible heap, and we make both minimum and maximum the same. But it may not be the case in the normal, you know, production level, because, you know, we that's not an ideal situation there.
You're right, because we normally set it to, even the previous place I worked, and even here, we set it to a mini heap size of 512 meg, and then max heap size of 1 gig, and we do burst tests as well. I mean, I'm a performance engineer, so we do burst tests, but we won't like to see the application nice. Start up nicely with an amp up and then go into a steady state mode for whatever time you wanted to run it.
Yep. That's why, you know, we have the recommendation here, like, you know, we generally, you know, even though it may be a little bit different for a specific application, but the general rule of thumb is 50% of the max heap size is the minimum. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thanks. Yeah. I'll let other people ask before I have a few more questions. Thanks.
And again, as a reminder, star 1 to ask a question. We'll go next to David Lowe with AT&T.
Yeah, hi. I'm more of an administrator than a developer. I know a lot of these tunings kind of come hand in hand between the administrator and with the developers. And as an administrator, and you know, how can I better communicate with my with the developers, and how to, you know, tune parameters or have him write a better code.
I guess the first place would be like, if you take HTTP session management, like if you enable Tivoli Performance Viewer, you would see like what's the average HTTP session size, how many sessions are being used, and if the session size are like really unrealistic, like 500K, 600K, at that time you can work with developers, like do we really need this big HTTP sessions, or can we work better over there?
Yeah, just add to that, you know, comment. You know, as an administrator, really you can do a lot to influence, you know, how the developers are either coding their application or you know, setting the deployment options. Because as an administrator, you can see, for instance, as I mentioned in the EKB container, you know, tuning, right? Okay, if you're seeing, if you expect certain CPU utilization, but you are not reaching that and you are seeing much less, and then you can enable this, you know, TPV and see, for instance, okay, I have lots of EJB stores happening here. What's going on? So a lot of, you know, passivation is happening, right? That's the data that, as an administrator, you can see and give the feedback. So then we can, you know, you can use this, oh, okay, because of the, this may be a symptom. So you can convey that back to the developers, and then you can influence the, okay, change the container cache, or, you know, like, you know, use a different performance feature. For instance, like, you know, partial updates, or, you know, like, you know, you can use a keep update logs, or that kind of new features too.
Okay, thank you.
We'll take our next question from Chris Bossman Clark.
Hi. This question was asked by some of the folks from State Farm in the room. They have an application that's running, and it's on the JVM side. It's in a nice steady state, consistent. It grows in the heap, grows and expands as expected, and it's in a nice stable window. What they're observing, though, is in the operating system, the JVM process itself, that memory is consistently growing. And they're looking for techniques of trying to do the problem determination for a memory leak that appears to be at the operating system level of the JVM in contrast to the heap level. Do you have any insights?
The operating system level, normally, you know, first, you know, you're saying that the heap is generally growing, but the first, what we do first thing for determining what's going on, of course, we have this, you know, memory dump diagnostic tool that normally we use to, you know, isolate to a specific area. Okay, we have a leak here. And then that may lead us to the specific JNI call or something that, you know, is interacting with, you know, underlying pieces there. So then your question of what tool do we use for the memory leaks in the operating system itself, then that part I'm going to have to get back to you.
Okay, thank you.
As a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, it's star one at this time. And we'll take a follow-up from Anand Iyagari.
Hi, again, this is Anand here again. Turning to page number 21 of the JMS, I know WebSphere version 6, as I mentioned rightly, is a separate out of process. JMS is run its own process, or its own JVM. Now, when you say lightweight, I mean, my question or my concern still is that this JMS, when it runs, even as a lightweight, it's going to be eating into the process whichever the main JVM is running. It's going to eat into the overhead on that, right?
Yes. It is now starting from V6. Yes, we do have the messaging engine as part of the same JVM as the app server.
My question is, why is that? What's the value add there on not having a separate how to process.
Yeah, the value add is the main thing is the, you know, the serialization, right? You know, when you are going from hopping from one process to another, like that is the case in, you know, file series, right?
Yeah.
So that is the major thing. Like, you know, you are going, leaving this, and you're doing a lot of serialization, you know, taking from one process to another. That has been completely eliminated, and, you know, that is the major performance boost. That's the first one.
Okay.
And to add, Surya, like, when the client tries to connect, the connections are shared now between the web, between the HTTP clients and the messaging clients. So since JMS is within process, the connections are shared, and there we get further benefit.
Right, but I understand. I appreciate that effort, but you still, the downside is your memory utilization is going to be so much higher depending on how much messaging you're going to do.
Yes, yeah. The heap size, of course, you know, if you are constrained on the heap size, right?
Okay.
You have now, you know, you are, you know, consuming because there is something else is cutting into your heap size, right?
Right. Yeah.
But that the advantage of the serialization benefit, reducing the overhead on the serialization, is far more than the effects of cutting into the heap size.
Okay. I mean, of course, it depends on the application. If it does a lot of messaging, it makes sense than doing less messaging and doing a lot of processing on the JVM side, then it doesn't buy much.
Yeah, of course. Again, it is the JMS, you know, messaging intensive applications. You know, yes, of course. They, as you can see in our lab, we have seen almost between the 5, you know, out of process messaging to the 6.0, we have seen almost a non-persistent messaging improvement. You know, performance gone by like 2x.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, that is mainly, of course, again to. To qualify that with that is mainly the, you know, highly message intensive application.
Exactly. That, because that brings up another the corollary is that it's how easy, because I know we had a problem 5.0 to install JMS. Now, how is it easy to turn off and turn on JMS in version 6?
Version 6, normally the messaging is provided through a thing called service SI bus or the service integration bus.
Okay.
It is really, you know, very very easy to, by default, the SI bus is turned off. Unless you create a messaging engine, it won't be turned on to avoid any, you know, these extra overhead.
Exactly.
But, yeah, but the SI bus mainly is introduced mainly because of this new SOA thing that IBM is pushing, right? The service-oriented architecture where we use the web services,
yeah.
They all run on part on top of this SI bus.
Oh, okay.
So that is, you know, you have the scalability-wise, there is much more benefits in the new messaging compared to the earlier. So the earlier model, you know, was not that easily, you know, scalable. Now with the V6, you know, scalability is not at all a problem. You can attach different clusters to the SIBUS or individual messaging servers to the SIBUS. Yeah.
Great. That's great.
See, in terms of management and administration, like the in-process messaging has helped us a lot, and we can do all kind of management through the admin console. Like in version 5, it was not possible.
Definitely. You have to worry about connection pool and keep back and forth to JMS and connection, everything and all that. I understand. One last observation is, you're not touch base much on the load balancing by node agents and things like that. Is it that you assume that people are going to have a network deployment by default?
You're talking about with respect to you know, with respect to the JMS or in general?
In general, sorry, I should context switch from JMS to a general load balancing.
Well, you know, we have as you know, WebSphere has so many facets here, right? You know, so this is the first part of the advanced tuning. We have a series of things that are coming in future.
Sure.
The second one that we are going to cover, I think, next Thursday is web services, 64-bit, and the hardware, and, you know, some of the thread pool things, and Dynacache, right? So we have one more for the performance monitoring and tuning that's coming in July. So, yeah, if enough interest is there, and then, you know, maybe we can have one specifically for the clustering and high availability.
Sure.
Session. Yeah, because it's more of, you know, like putting everything together. So
I know. And it's very difficult to just squeeze everything in 1 hour, and I fully appreciate it. Thanks a lot for that.
Okay. No problem. Yeah, just send a feedback so, you know, we can you know, have our next session based on what we get.
Sure. Great. Thanks.
And we'll go next to Gerhard Poole with IBM.
Hi, this is Gerhard Poole. I'm with IBM in the integrated technology delivery, and I have three questions to mostly the new features that we have in the 6.1 product. And the first one would be if we have any performance guidance yet about the new file store that we're using for the JMS messaging engines in 6.1.
Yeah, you know, that is, of course, the scope for this is like only 6.02 and 6.0x before 6.1, because 6.1 has just gone out, right? 6.1, of course, has we have a file store instead of the message, the data store that we have. The performance for that is better than the data store for certain scenarios. But again, that depends on, you know, how message intensive you are doing, and also if you there is one drawback here with file store. For instance, I mentioned about the one PC commit up, one phase commit optimization, right? The messaging applications that use the database can only benefit with one PC optimization, because you know we have to coordinate these transactions with the CMPs. So that is a drawback with one file store. But in general, of course, file store is that performs better than the data store or the message store through the messaging through the RDBMS.
Okay, thank you. And regarding the JVM that we have, I noticed that you showed actually they were both GC from the 5.0 JVM in your presentation. And do we have any guidance that in addition to what's in the diagnostics guide for using the generational garbage collection in the 5.0? Because in the diagnostics guide, we basically have the information that we should use the generational on large SMP systems.
Yeah, you're now getting into the 6.1 and the JDK 5.0. Yes, that JDK 5.0 or Java 5 is entirely, it has been completely rewritten, and then we have lots more tuning parameters available, because just to give you an overview, with SecJab server, we have between 6.02 and 6.1, there is a performance improvement of 47% boost. Out of that, majority of that, around 25% is coming from the Java JDK itself, like 1.42 to 1.5 you go, 25%. And that is mainly due to various improvements across the VM and the GC. Of course, we have the JIT just-in-time compiler. The JIT compiler also has been improved completely. We tried our level best to make the default values the best performing ones, so that customers need not go out and add more tuning parameters, because that is the case with our competitive JDKs like the Sun. And so we don't want to have extra overhead. We tried our level best, but still we cannot accommodate all the default parameters to the best. So we do have some. Maybe we can have a separate session for that. We have limited ourselves to not to go beyond 1.4x.
Okay, thank you. So my last question, just quick, would be if you could just quick tell me what the changes regarding the pin and those objects would be in the 5.0.
What is
the the dash XK and the dash XP parameter are no longer available in the 5.0 version, as far as I've seen.
Yes, we removed that, and because of, as I mentioned, right, you know, we have completely revamped the programming model of the Java 5 is entirely different. So we no longer have that issue there, so that's the reason why we removed them. You know, again, that depends on what kind of GC policy actually you are using. There are generational garbage collection policy that uses the old space and the new space, and then we have some certain parameters like the mature object space, right? You know, we set that. So those tuning parameters will take care of this, you know. So that's the reason why we don't have them.
Okay, thank you very much.
We'll take our next question from Kasar Kamal with IBM.
Hi, yeah, this is Kasar from Level 2 Support. I had a question on the JMS tuning that you were presenting on. You said that the JMS tuning will work with a few different modes. So it has WebSphere's internal messaging. You could also use an external messaging provider like WebSphere MQ. Some of the tuning parameters that you mentioned, are those only applicable if you're using internal messaging, or would they also come into effect if you're, you know, using, for example, WebSphere MQ as your messaging provider?
Okay, WebSphere MQ messaging provider, yes. We do have support for, like, you know, if your application uses the messaging, like earlier messaging, like MQ. We do have some parameters like the connection pool and session pools, and those are the same. But for instance, we don't have any reliability, levels that the qualities of service that we have introduced in 6.0. We don't have those in earlier MQ land. In general, the MDBs, of course, the tuning of MDBs is better. There are certain aspects we change. For instance, like the max sessions, that's what we used to tune before in MQ. Now we have a separate connection pool, like the default pool, because now we are in process, right? So there are certain variations, but there are some that can be applicable for both. But most of the tuning that I gave today is applicable for 6.0, because 6.0 messaging uses the database as the data store.
Thank you.
And we'll take our last question from Michelle Gaceta with DTCC.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I have a few questions. The first one is there a way to, do you have some scripts that we can use to run the viewer in the background, in the OS instead? Because I've experienced it where when I use the console and I save sessions, that some files get corrupted and it's kind of, you know, hard to trace back. Like if I'm doing a load test, it will be basically unusable for me if I try to save.
Well, yeah, that is, of course, that's a problem. And normally, with 6.0, with the lightweight TPV that's built in the admin console,
right,
we have disabled the support to do that remotely separately as a thick client. But the general recommendation that we give to the customers, like yourself, who wants to use, to monitor the parameters from, TPV, the purpose of the Tivoli Performance Viewer is not to use as a monitor or the event monitor. So we want to just get certain just two or three tuning parameters and how they are doing. For instance, like, okay, what are the EJB stores, how they are doing. But if you want to go beyond that and constantly monitor at a high load, we recommend you to go to, there are certain tools available with the Tivoli, suite of products. They are, targeted for that.
Like what?
I can send you that. Actually, we are going to touch that, TPV and all these, features of, monitoring and logging in our presentation in July.
Oh, okay, in phase two.
Yeah, we have a third presentation there. You know, we can go at length. You know, how we do this and what are the limitations of the TPV, and okay, beyond that, what we need to do.
Right, that would really be very useful. The other is you talked about. You didn't really have information about database connection pooling information.
That is coming in the next week's session two.
Okay. How about plugins, like WebSphere plugins?
That we have not added, because normally plugins when you do with the web server like IHS or something, you know, when you do that. So again, as the previous caller mentioned about, you know, clustering, right? You know, this is right now it's out of scope, but we can certainly you know, include a session, you know, if there is any interest, like, you know, if you can just send a feedback, right? Okay, I would like to get some plugin configuration information or tuning information. Yeah, that certainly that will give us some feedback.
Okay. One last one. Your topic about HTTP sessions, is that like the web container thread pool, basically, that you're looking at?
I'm sorry. So your question is like whether HTTP sessions in place of...
Yeah, like where do you... Look at that.
That's
the one under the web container thread pool.
Yes, yeah. WebSphere, of course. You know, the HTTP sessions are mainly for the, you know, web applications. Like, you know, we want to you know, store the sessions, and that's it is certainly used by it as one of the features of you know, how to save the web sessions. But
Oh, this is like saving the session data into
yes,
a database.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
okay,
yes,
we're not doing... Okay. Yeah, I was just looking for a lot more information other than just JVM, because, you know, like if I have an application that really doesn't have much problem about memory, which is surprising, you know, the other things that I look at would be the web container usage and then database connections, which is really the big thing, and I didn't see that in this presentation.
Yeah,
so.
Then the thread pools and the connection pools, and you know, we are going to come, you know, with that data in the next session.
That'd be great. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And we have no further questions at this time. Ms. Chen, I'd like to turn the call back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, Alan. At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. And remember, a replay of this presentation will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site early next week. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. And please join us next week for WebSphere Application Server Version 6.0 Events Performance Tuning Part 2. It will be on June 15th, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And thank you, Surya and Brishan, for a great presentation today. Have a great day, everyone.
And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.